from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I thought you guys settled your issues. This seems like it's going to spark it back
Evidently
up.
Evidently not.
It's going to spark it back up by playing
Burrow face back there gonna, play this music.
I was going to apologize during the break. Sorry in advance.
Cody in gold, Alex gold, Jay Binkley in for Cody, Drew Nixon producing the show and choosing the Miley song.
What did I tell the producer, Grant, last night? Punch you in the face.
Yeah,
and
the
if he
rumor
does that,
is,
I will today if he doesn't.
Rumor is Miley Cyrus could be performing at halftime of the Super Bowl when the Chiefs are playing in New Orleans.
Give me dogs and frisbees.
Instead of Miley.
Do you normally watch the halftime show, Bink?
Actually, not really.
What do you care? What do you care, man?
Well, plus, if it was Chiefs, dogs and frisbees, I would.
The Chiefs are in the game, then the halftime show, everybody's happy in a good mood, hopefully. Anyway.
Yeah, you're sitting there and you're collecting yourself.
It'll be all right if that's ultimately who is singing at halftime. By the way, think of the Chiefs. Congratulations to one of the newer Chiefs, first-round draft pick, Xavier Worthy. He posted on his Instagram, just proposed to his girlfriend. So congratulations to him and his girlfriend. His girlfriend.
I always see that as a huge mistake.
What?
Babe. No, here's the deal. You haven't had a chance yet. You're a first-round pick.
The city's yours.
What do these athletes get engaged so early on? They get into the pro team and get engaged.
Maybe he loves
because
his girlfriend.
The man just got engaged.
He's a first-round pick. The city's yours, man. Enjoy yourself for a little while. Then get engaged when you're 25, 26, something like this. This guy, 50% divorce rate in this country. Come on, just enjoy yourself as a first-round pick. This drives me nuts when guys do this.
That's your first reaction when I tell you that Chiefs first-round pick Xavier Worthy just got engaged. He proposed, very nice video, nice roses on the beach, all that beautiful scenery. Longtime girlfriend who, by the way, hurdler too. She competed in the Olympic trials as a 100-meter hurdles. And that's
curler
your,
or hurdler?
Hurdle. Did I say hurdle?
Curl. She curls.
No.
Hurdler. A proper sport. Track and field.
Anyway, congratulations.
Actually, curling is a sport. You call that a sport, Drew?
Congratulations to them, even though Bink.
You call them curling
hating.
A sport? You're going to dog those guys too.
Curling's absolutely
yes,
a sport.
100%
sport.
It is.
Yes, it's a sport.
Anyway, congrats.
Congrats, I guess.
I thought you were about to say that's going to hurt his performance on the field.
No,
or something,
it's not going to hurt his performance on the field.
Crazy take, Bink.
It's not going to hurt his performance
on the
field. Well, it's going to hurt his performance off the field.
So what is he? Because he loves the gal. That's why.
Yeah,
that's why.
If he loves her, then good for him.
Both of you guys don't see my point.
You're
a millionaire, first round pick.
I understand what you're saying, but maybe he loves.
He's awfully
his
young. He just turned 21.
I get what you're hinting at. I typically agree, but not if he's been with his girlfriend for a while.
Way too young. Jeez. He just turned 21. He could just go to buy a beer at a bar and he's getting married.
Look, I haven't been engaged or married before, so maybe you think I can't talk about it. You've also been...
Several times. I could talk about
married multiple times.
Yeah, I have more experience than both of you guys.
Drew's been married in the last 2 years.
Yes. Drew, if you're a first-round pick and a multi-million-dollar athlete, would you get engaged at 21?
If I loved my girlfriend and I wanted to make it a forever thing, yes.
Oh, guys.
Otherwise, I get what you're... Trust me, I understand what you're saying. I totally understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your first reaction to the guy getting engaged. Unbelievable.
just tell him like it is, man. I like Xavier Worthy. I'm just saying, you might want to wait a while.
Well, he's not.
Obviously.
Good for him.
That's what I say.
We'll agree to disagree, Drew.
Okay, and look, at this rate, as long as Xavier Worthy is doing the job on the field, I don't think anything matters for
someone's taking
our
the
opinions.
Opposite approach. They're saying, see, this will keep him out of trouble. Perfect.
Yeah. Drew, I could tell you the sky is blue and you'd tell me it's green.
Patrick Mahomes, I would say
this guy's not blue, it's gray.
I would say it worked out for Patrick Mahomes just fine too, huh?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. Should he...
Is 248 miles of football coming out today?
No, it's coming out on Thursday.
49 miles.
It's actually 247, but...
We're not doing this again. We're not. No, I can't do that again. Not today. Let's talk some baseball for a second, please. The I-70 series is going to start tomorrow because of the rain that we've gotten here and then the remnants of the hurricane that are in St. Louis as well now. So the game is postponed. Doubleheader, split doubleheader tomorrow. If you were keeping an eye on that, but it's the I-70 series. It's the first time in a while, though, where both teams were actually good since we've had this. Does anybody care? Like, true, I'm asking you, 913-586-7610. Does anybody care about, like, the notion of the I-70 series anymore? Is it because the Royals haven't held up their end of the bargain in recent years? What is it? Because the Cardinals are 48-42. They're 4.5 back in their division. They actually occupy a wild card spot after a slow start. The Royals, we know, they're 49-43. They're 8.5 back in the division. 1.5 back of the Red Sox for a wild card spot. This actually has big stakes for the first time in a while. But does it have the same buzz? It's midweek, Tuesday, Wednesday. I guess it'll be Wednesday and Thursday, just be Wednesday now. They're playing two tomorrow.
I think this is one of those clear cases. It means more to the fans than the players. Like people try to drum up these rivalries with the Broncos and Raiders, which we as fans see them as rivalries. But these guys, you know, didn't grow up here. Some of them close or whatever to understand it, but most don't know the rivalry between Kansas City and St. Louis. Now they hear about it. I'm sure the Royals hear about it on social media, and you name it. They hear that people in Kansas City want to beat St. Louis, but I do think it means more. And you can't manufacture it like, oh, I hate toasted ravioli or whatever. No, it's not about that. Most of us have relatives or family or friends that live in St. Louis, unfortunately, and they will talk their smack.
Yeah, but they've asked you what high school you've gone to 100 times.
Yes,
yeah.
But it resonates different if Kansas City beats St. Louis. It does that with soccer, with the MLS. I would say football, but they don't have a football team anymore. Hopefully we still do. But the bottom line is, it resonates more when you see the scores come through. Oh, the Royals beat the Mariners.
It's trash
or whatever.
Talk, though.
The Royals beat St. Louis. All right, that means something. Like, deep down, that means something because it's St. Louis and Kansas City, and it's fun rivalry between the two cities. They're extremely jealous of Kansas City. That has come out. That's been evident in the past. I think Denver is a little bit as well because we're getting everything instead of the Denver. Like the World Cup, they wanted that, and it's coming to Kansas City instead. But St. Louis, I think, has some jealousy. They consider themselves what soccer city, and Kansas City is obviously ahead of the curve. The Royals are playing much better than people expected. And I think it is fun for people in this town to beat St. Louis. And I always liked it because of all the people they brought. Like I-70.
See, but I hated that. There were many years, though, Bink, where it was full of red, though. That's what I hated. I mean, it was not a split crowd. I mean, there were plenty of years where Cardinals fans took over Kauffman.
It was annoying. Twins fans used to come down in droves, too, back before they had outdoor baseball. When it was indoor baseball, a lot of them made coming down to Kansas City, which is great for the Chamber of Commerce, I suppose. But it always just kind of means more if Kansas City beats St. Louis. So I think
this series, other than the trash talk, this series is just big because I still think, even hearing the comments from John Sherman to Vern earlier, discussing that selling is not on his radar. Right. Selling for the trade deadline is what I'm referring to, by the way. Mm-hmm. Selling for the trade deadline is not on their radar. I still think it's a big week for that. Like if you have to, you get two against the Cardinals and then you have the Red Sox before the All-Star break. I still think you need to be right at 500 this week. You cannot afford a disastrous week heading to the All-Star break. Not only for just the vibe, but also for the front office and for how aggressive you're going to be. It sounds like they keep saying they're going to be aggressive, but I do think like there's one you can't have a week where you only win one game this week. You can't have that. You need to, a winning week would be great. But not only can you not have it for just your game and a half back of the Red Sox right now, you play them head to head, so you got a chance to be in a wild card spot at the All-Star break. Like that is still a possibility. Think about it. A team won 56 games last year, and if things go well this week against the Cardinals and head to head against the Red Sox, you're a game and a half back of them. If you have a good week at the All-Star break, this team could still be occupying a wild card spot, which is pretty special considering where they were at a year ago.
And then have the White Sox right after the break.
Yeah,
I mean, things
six.
Could go extremely six. Well for this team if things go well in St. Louis and then in Boston, which Boston, like the Cardinals, have been playing extremely hot. But you know what? The Royals have been playing well against good teams.
Well, no, they haven't.
Well, they played worse against bad teams.
Yeah, recently they've been better against the Guardians and better teams than the crappier teams.
And
but
they went
in general,
on a nice stretch when they're playing all division leaders. They went on a nice stretch.
Yeah, for a while it was, hey, it's okay. They're beating up on the bad teams, and they weren't playing against good teams. Now it's kind of reversed a little bit, which is even more concerning, I think, at times. I'm not saying that there aren't flaws. We've all discussed them. But if this team is actually occupying a playoff spot at the All-Star break, that is something to be excited about. I'm not saying we need to throw a parade, but that is something to be very excited about for the future of this club and where they're heading in the back half of the season. We're already past the halfway point.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, it's because they don't play this right in the middle of the season, it's a nice refresher for people, and we'll see what happens again. These next two series, it kind of reminds me of Cleveland. Even though the Cardinals in another league, it's still fun to beat the Cardinals, but the Red Sox series definitely matters for the Royals. And you get them back here in Kansas City later on.
And the way it's setting up, again, Waka will now pitch tomorrow night. Alec Marsh will pitch in the early game tomorrow, and then that sets up, of course,
the Cardinal making his return.
For your horses, hopefully, to be pitching this weekend against the Boston Red Sox. Again, if you missed the full interview Vern had with John Sherman, it's up on 610sports.com. I got an email sent to me yesterday. I think you got one as well, from an offshore book that always had some odds on players and who could end up in Kansas City on the Chiefs front. And there were two names that stood out. One was David Bakhtiari, former Green Bay Packer. Very nice career, unfortunately, injury riddled since 2019, really. And that's why he's available. That's why he's still not signed. I think he is holding out for an opportunity, obviously, if an injury happens during training camp. The Chiefs have the second best odds to land him at 6-1. Bears have odds 5-1. Ravens 8-1. Cowboys 9-1. I get why the Chiefs are in the mix. Right now, they have inexperience slated to start, whether it's Wanye or Suamataia. So I understand the veteran. I just would rather, if that's the route we're thinking about veteran, I would just rather bring back Donovan Smith. I've been consistent on this. Bakhtiari can't stay.
I'm curious what the Donovan Smith odds would have been.
Yeah.
It had to be the same.
Bakhtiari can't stay healthy. And if you're going to give Kingsley the opportunity to start, I don't know if Bakhtiari is taking a backup job. Just like I don't think Donovan Smith is at this point. Now, in training camp, when things, the dust settles, maybe so, but right now, the reason why Bakhtiari and Donovan Smith haven't signed is pretty evident. They're waiting for a starting opportunity, a chance to compete. That doesn't exist right now, but injuries will happen around the NFL, or the Chiefs get to camp and they're not liking what they see from Kingsley or Wanye, then maybe they go ahead and bring in one of these players. But right now, they haven't brought him in for a reason. I think they're rolling with Kingsley at this point.
Like last year, early on, it was like Juwan Taylor did a whole experiment about moving him to left tackle. They realized right away that's not going to happen. You state the right side, call Donovan Smith, bring him in, and the rest is history with that. But Donovan Smith makes it. Listen, I like David Bakhtiari. There's no question about it. I mean, he was once just a dominant tackle in this league. But when you played 13 games the last 3 years, and you hope the injuries come up. But the problem is, when you're in the NFL, injuries tend to linger, especially with some of the guys that have been around the block a while, like David Bakhtiari. And can't say that it with the neck either with Donovan Smith. Donovan Smith's been battling this for the last couple of years, but it's in case of emergency break glass situation for the Chiefs, which I totally think when they're going to give Wanye the odds at the beginning, and then but they really want Kingsley, in my opinion.
So wait, who do you actually think has the leg up when we go up to St. Joe and start doing shows up there in a few weeks?
Right now, I think it's Wanye. I mean, it's what the organization said, what Veach said, Reed. But it wasn't a ringing endorsement, 100% it's going to happen. I mean, they were kind of cautious about it. They said because he's been here and he's four starts last year. But deep down, I think they really, really like what Kingsley showed him in OTAs.
So I think the leg up, based on experience, four games, Wanya. But if we were setting odds on it, I actually think that if you said who was the starting left tackle, I think Kingsley would be like even money. I think he'd be, you know, plus 100, plus 105. I think Wanya would be plus 135. And then the field would be
You'll find out four to one.
You know, oh, I think so.
I think if you're asking yourself, who should we go with, and you're in that, you know, 50-50 spot, you take Kingsley.
I agree.
Because he's got the higher upside. You also just picked him in the second round. And you roll with Kingsley. If there's any question about whether Wanya can do it or not, or if you're still debating in week two of the preseason who it is.
Yeah, the only time you start to get nervous would be if it's a week or so into camp or the first preseason game, and all of a sudden you look and you're like, oh boy, this is a problem. And Donovan Smith and Bakhtiari have already signed. Right now they haven't signed anywhere. I'm sure that the Chiefs have, or there's been some sort of communication, I'm sure, with, you know, Donovan Smith at some point this offseason. Like, yeah, we still got your number kind of thing. And if you're Donovan Smith, you know, if there's not a starting opportunity and maybe there's a backup opportunity, who knows? I think we're all assuming that that the Chiefs, if they were going to sign Donovan Smith, they would have already done that. I disagree. I think if one of these guys is ever signing with Kansas City, it's going to be in the middle of camp.
Yeah, and in fact, the guy knows the playbook, started the Super Bowl. This is what Brett Veach said about the situation, about what he has said to expect at left tackle. This is what he said, and everything he usually says, he's 100% right.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think we were really happy with Wanya's development last year, and I think he showed some signs early on in the OTAs that we were really excited about. Continue that growth and maturation process during the training camp. And then middle of the season there, he got an opportunity, some good, some bad. I think Wanya would tell you this. I think if you look at his body of work last year, I think on one end, you're happy that he was able to come in at the pro level and be competitive. It wasn't perfect, but it also was solid play that I think is a good foundation to build and grow on. But he has to come in here with the mindset that, you know, we're going to look to bring in competition. And, you know, he's got to come in here and win that position. And I think it's his job to come in and be prepared to win that position. And I think it's our job to go out there and find competition, you know, for that left tackle spot.
Yeah, that was before the draft.
I just like the attitude of it. Yeah, Wanya's got the upper hand. We're going to bring in competition for him, which they did in Kingsley. So he typically tips his hand what he's going to do in the draft. But he was very honest about it. I like when he says some was good, some was bad. I like the fact that he just didn't paint the picture of everything was perfect last year. No, some was good, some was bad. We want to have competition, legitimate competition at the left tackle. I love the answer.
I think it's a little concerning for them for when he says we need to bring in some competition is almost like they don't trust Wanya to be the guy. So they felt they needed to go and get somebody to either help push him or put somebody in there where, hey, we need to actually figure this out, whether or not Wanya is the guy. And if he's not, then this provides that opportunity. I don't know if it's a little concerning that you would feel the need to bring in competition for that important of a spot, I guess.
I think it's reality, though. Like, on one hand, you're right. If they were full-blown confident in Wanya, they wouldn't have made that comment. They wouldn't have drafted Kingsley where they did. On the other hand, they're recognizing what is reality, which is this guy played in four games at left tackle. Like, he was fine. We think maybe we can find somebody that's better. That's kind of how I took it. And let's just see if there is somebody better out there. They brought in Kingsley. Through their evaluation in the offseason and at camp, we're going to find out if he is better than Wanya, or if there's a level, a threshold they think they got to have at left tackle, and neither can meet that. Maybe that's when they go back to Donovan Smith. But I think it's pretty evident. Like, it wasn't that they didn't like Wanya Morris, but it's like, there were some things
they weren't willing to commit to him.
Yeah, how they should have. It actually been way more concerning if they're like, no, we were fine with everything we saw in the four games.
Yeah.
You know,
here's what Andy Reid said during OTA. So a couple of OTA rounds have already happened. This is on 20 seconds of Andy Reid just talking about these two, Suamati and Wanya.
Listen, they've both done a nice job. So like the production that we've seen from both. Both of them are young guys, so we'll just see how it all finishes up through camp. It's good competition. We're going to end up playing the five best guys, and we'll go from there. But you know, we'll just see how it all plays out.
There's the breaking news. They're going to play the five best guys.
But there it is. But the whole
thing, they're young.
Yeah, but you peel it back a little bit. It's not ringing endorsement for Wanya taking the job. I mean, we'll play the best. To me, that sounded like Kingsley's a starter, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't take much from that at all. But I hear you. Like, I just the actions always speak louder, especially on stuff like that. I mean, you've covered the Chiefs for a long time as well, Bink. Like, you and Andy Reid's been here for a while. I think we all kind of know. You're usually not going to get a whole lot out, especially in OTAs, definitive things from coaching staff or anything like that.
All I know is 1 week until camp starts.
Yeah, we're going to find out when we're up there. And not initially, remember, it's just going to be rookies, quarterbacks. And once we get to, I think it's the 22nd or something, when veterans are actually practicing, there's a Sunday and then we're up there on a Monday. That's when you start to tell. Remember, the pads aren't even on initially. I want to wait until pads are on. That could be, Tuesday or Wednesday of that 22nd, 23rd stretch or something before the pads are even on. That's when we'll have an even better idea. So we'll see. But you're right. We'll be in St. Joe before we know it, man. Going to be here before we know it. The other player that was in that email for offshore odds, I thought we were kind of done with this, but like they're mentioned, Michael Thomas, Cowboys have the best odds. Bills 5-1, Ravens 6-1, Broncos 8-1, Jags and Chiefs both sitting at 10-1. I feel like the wide receiver, this is the group. They have 11 of them, 12 of them going into camp or something like that. I actually think it's fairly crowded. I don't think this makes any sense at all at this point.
No, I think Bakhtiari makes more sense than Michael Thomas.
Fair.
At this point, but obviously Chiefs have been mentioned. Justin Simmons was on here as well, and Chiefs like the fifth.
That doesn't make a whole lot of sense
to bring
either.
A safety in here. Well, they're loaded at safety. Absolutely loaded at safety. But the Michael Thomas thing doesn't make any sense. They would have already done that if that's what they wanted to do, to get acclimated with their
correct
with their
offense.
They brought
back McCole Hardman. You know what I mean? Like
they would have already done this.
Yeah, if they didn't bring back McCole Hardman, if they didn't spend a high pick on Worthy, then I think it's a whole different conversation. And this is also recognizing that Rashee Rice suspension potentially could happen. They got enough bodies in camp and all this to sort it out itself. In fact, I think there's a bit of a roster crunch already. I mean, because you go through guys that we know are locks to make the roster. And wide receiver. Rashee Rice, of course. You have
Worthy.
Xavier Worthy.
Hollywood.
I think Hollywood Brown, Justin Watson. Those four are locks. You agree?
I agree. They're locks.
There.
McCole is five.
All right. So you're then talking about one or two spots between Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Justin Ross, Nico Armijo.
Yeah.
So it's a roster crunch already. That's why bringing anybody else doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I said it's going to be the battle between Nico and Justin Ross and those type of guys.
Yeah.
Go to wide receiver 7.
And does Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, do they both make the team?
I think one of them does not.
As we do that, it doesn't appear the numbers.
I guess theoretically there's not
Nico
a guarantee.
Nico stands a chance because he's a returner too. Just saying.
Yeah, Xavier Worthy's going to be the punt returner though. And in kickoffs it sounds like could be LRZ or somebody else. But punt return I think is pretty settled. That'll be Worthy.
It will be unless Rice's suspension happens. I think they go back on that for a little bit.
That's fair.
You spent
but,
the, it's,
but,
it's,
a roster,
the
but it's a roster crunch wide receiver. They don't need to bring any more bodies in.
No,
they
got seventh enough, is a battle.
They got enough decisions to make there. All right, coming up next, we will get to what's trending, then back into what the Chiefs are. One thing we used to say about another franchise is now being said about the Chiefs. We'll get to that next.
Hey, it's Brady Singer. You're listening to Cody and Gold, weekdays starting at 10 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse wrap.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the I-70 series postponed today due to inclement weather. Of course, remnants of the hurricane in St. Louis, reason why we maybe got a little bit of rain today as well. But it'll be made up tomorrow, part of a split doubleheader. So 12:45 tomorrow, first pitch, which means Vern will be on at 11:30, means we'll be off at 11:30 as well tomorrow due to two games being played. Originally scheduled at 6:45 tomorrow. That'll happen still, but also an earlier game, 12:45.
It is kind of disappointing, though, that they weren't on TV last night. Say, I missed the Royals, and all of a sudden they're not going to be on the
night
either.
A lot of off days. Off day yesterday, off day today, off day Thursday, yes. And off day all next week. Except Monday and Tuesday we'll have Royals featured throughout All-Star festivities.
Plus, we're getting healthy.
Plus the Futures game on Sunday, right?
That's right, Futures
so,
game.
So the Royals, I mean, there's still plenty of reason to keep an eye on.
Do you ever watch the Futures game?
If there's Royals players in it.
Do you? Well, there always is, usually.
Well, there's two selected. I don't know if there's always some of the top prospects. It depends on their top prospects. Who was in it last year?
One thing, it's kind of eerie, that 2012 Futures game that was in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, three of those guys have died now.
I think you've told me this one. It's a very depressing one you bring up, Bing.
I heard him talking about this morning.
I think you bring it up once a year, and it's very depressing.
It is depressing, you know? But, you know, it happened.
It did happen. That's true. You're right.
Keegan Bradley, named captain of the Ryder Cup team after Tiger Woods said no. Keegan Bradley, a one-time major champion, 38 years old, so a young captain for the Ryder Cup team, who said he's going to take the 12 best.
Oh.
It doesn't matter where you play, because there was that talk as though it's going to be PGA guys or LIV guys. It's going to be both, which that's the way it should be. The best of the best.
You're going up against another country. It's the United States.
The best
of the
best.
Europe, I guess. So, like, against another continent. So, yeah, that's fun.
I'm 100% for that.
Next up on what's trending, Binks, as I said, excited about the news. Miley Cyrus rumored to be the halftime performer for this year's Super Bowl in New Orleans.
Sometimes you hope things are just rumors. Miley Cyrus sucks. Yes. I did say that. I would take dogs and frisbees 100% over Miley Cyrus. But the one thing about this, just a rumor at this point, right? Rumors aren't always true. You can't always believe what's on the internet.
Yeah, hopefully for your sake it's not, but she'd be fine. Next up on what's trending, the Home Run Derby. We already know Bobby Wood Jr. is in it. Found out another AL member. That'd be Jose Ramirez of the Guardians. So help me if he's the reason why Bobby gets knocked out in the first round or something.
Someone for Cleveland. Can't do that.
Ramirez has done it a couple times.
Tremendous player. Always does well against the Royals.
That is what's trending.
There's one more.
Jay Binkley in for Cody today.
You're trending. There's two articles about you out there, including the Kansas City Star. Multiple news outlets have tried to reach you. This is not fake. I mean, this has actually happened because you're in a movie. And people want to talk about the local radio guy in a movie.
Saturday. That's when I was shooting the movie on Saturday.
I don't even want to call you extra anymore. You just
no, just actor, Bink. Actor. Please, actor.
You had me bring that director's chair in.
Just actor. I mean, my goodness. It's just call me an actor now. Not the extra. No,
are you
going to
save that, though? Like when your face goes behind somebody and say, look, I was in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, I'll rewind. There'll definitely be a freeze frame.
It's going to be the banner photo on your Twitter profile.
There you go.
Depends on what it is, if it's visible or not, how visible. But right. Definitely, as you said, definitely Twitter profile actor. That'll get added. Mm-hmm. Future dating profile will mention was in a Hallmark movie. That's mm-hmm. just a good conversation starter. Of course.
Be true.
Of course.
96 degrees, you'll be wearing a winter coat and
a
hat.
It's a Christmas movie, so you got to... That's why in Downtown Independence, they got the Christmas in July stuff going on. That's what you said yesterday. But yes, no, I have turned down a few interviews today. I don't want them to get to... I had to sign an NDA, and I'm worried that they're going to be ticked off that I'm talking about it. So I'm going to wait till after I actually film on Saturday.
Can't wait till Cody comes back so we can talk about this with you. Discuss this betrayal, he called it betrayal?
He did call it a betrayal. He said I should have said no, which is pretty funny and laughable.
That is a funny request.
Just flat out laughable.
If Cody's not in as well, then I'm not in.
Mm-hmm. Mm. That was not a pack we all agreed on. It was
it wasn't.
We said, let's all three apply and see what happens.
Yeah.
That's it. Mm.
Must have been the look. No glasses. I think they probably... Problem with glasses.
Shout out DuraVision.
Yeah, DuraVision got you in the movie.
That's what it is. My next commercial for DuraVision is going to mention that. I don't know if I would have been an extra if it wasn't for DuraVision.
I was a DuraVision guy.
I'll make sure I'll work that in.
Movie.
Next commercial I do, I'll work that
in. If they do tell you, well, you didn't have glasses, so I think that was an
interest. If it wasn't for calling up DuraVision, might not have been a movie star.
There you go.
Man. That's true.
Movie star now.
Movie star. Woo. We're moving up, Drew. Each day it's going to get increased.
The IMDb page is...
Are you going to show up and say, I'm here for the love scene?
No,
you show
there is
to,
no love scene.
Are you going to make demands?
No. I mean,
do you want to be pampered in the green room?
Nope. Got to start small, Bink. Got to start small.
Remember where you came from.
Yes. And no demands for certain kind of liquor or drinks or food that you want.
I will not have a list of, make sure you have some Sour Patch Kids or something
list
ready
demands.
For me or anything. I will not.
At least they have water for you, though, because it'll be so hot.
I think that's a nice thing to have.
I'll be in the brewery.
Yeah, bring me a beer. Just walk over and bring me a beer on Saturday. Yeah. I honestly don't even know where we're going to be, as I said.
Well, if you want a beer, I hope they don't commandeer it,
I don't know. Not sure, man. That's actually what's trending now.
You.
I wanted to get back into the stadium conversation a little bit because we know tomorrow on the show we're going to have Jason Withington. He's a commissioner for Clay County with the governor of Missouri, Parson, being in town yesterday, right, met with North KC officials, met with Jackson County officials, met with Mayor Quinn Lucas to discuss steps forward, basically, for the state of Missouri to retain the Chiefs and Royals and how they continue that partnership. They did not meet with the teams yesterday, but it was more from a political angle, try to figure out what each jurisdiction maybe can provide, what the state can provide, and everything like that. The one thing that stood out to me from some of the reporting yesterday is that I believe it was a lawmaker from Lee's Summit that told the Star that he thinks Jackson County will get another opportunity for a public vote. Now, he admitted likely for one or the other, not for both. And that's where I'm at. If you think there's any scenario where Missouri retains both the Royals and Chiefs, and I think there's definitely a path for that, even if I think it's less likely, then it probably has to involve Clay County. Right? I don't think both teams are staying in Jackson County. I just don't. I don't know if that's realistic. So whether you think that's the Royals playing downtown in Jackson County and the Chiefs going up to Clay County, whether you think it's the Chiefs staying in Jackson County and the Royals going to that North KC site, those are the only scenarios I think that they keep both in Missouri. Otherwise, it's one in Kansas, one in Missouri. How do you see it? Do you agree with that?
I'm 100% with you on that. It's good to see Clay County, staying with us, staying for a... Don't forget about us. I mean, they've been in this from the beginning. It's a great rendering they had in Clay County. It's actually a nice place for the stadium
to be.
It was.
No, they did a good job with it.
It'd be great. It's a growing area down there. It's looking good. I mean, a lot of breweries down there in North Kansas City. It's a great deal. But I'm happy that Clay County is staying in the fight with these teams. Why not? Why shouldn't you do this? And again, the winners, like we said yesterday, the winners are the Royals and Chiefs because now you have legitimate bidding and you have both governors now involved.
But if there's another vote in Jackson County, and let's say – it's for the Chiefs. Is you guys tell me how, for those of you listening that are in Jackson County and actually voted last time, right? What would be different for you? If it's true that there could be another Jackson County only vote for one of the teams, what has to change, right? Because I we know on the Chiefs side, the renovation plan was underwhelming. Mm-hmm. Would a new renovation plan be enough? Would it have to be a new stadium? Would it just simply have to be a different tax? What I'm curious what would be on the Chiefs. Is it different now that the possibility of them leaving your state or county is realer?
I think
so that gets the vote.
I think that's the one thing. Because a lot of people are naive about this. Remember, they called us fearmongers. I remember sitting here at the festival and people were calling us fearmongers. The fear is, you know, I was like, hey, blank around and find out. You know, don't vote for it. And they leave because I don't think people realize the ramifications of you could have franchise tagged these stadiums. And yeah, everybody's going to come out of the woodwork in Kansas. Oh, we're interested yet. And then they are. And then Clay County's going to get involved. If you had a chance, that was the thing. But I think people didn't realize the ramifications until they started seeing like news every night. And all of a sudden you're seeing Kansas, you know, making their pitch, then Missouri trying to come in with Governor Parsons and figure things out. I don't think people looked at the big picture that they'd actually leave. I think there was a lot of people thinking there's no way in hell they're going to move from where they're at.
So let's not kid ourselves. I agree with most of what you said, but let's not kid ourselves also, though. There are some people that just don't care either, that are going to, you know, on both ends, right? They're firm no's. They're just going to, they're not worried about that. But the question, is it enough to make up the, 16-point margin of defeat? But that's what I'm wondering, if there's a Jackson County and this lawmaker believes that there could be still a Jackson County vote again. What if it's just the Royals? What has to happen for that? Is there a path where just the Royals could pass in Jackson County on a brand new stadium? That's a much bigger climb, right? Uphill climb.
No, it would be. It would be. I think the thought of losing the Chiefs too, as their back-to-back Super Bowl champions, really resonates. But I think the fear factor, and when you get the fear-mongering out of your system, saying, it's not fear-mongering. They actually might move. There might actually be moving vans out there. The realization of how real it got when you said no.
Two texts. I mean, it just represents obviously just some of the split and everything. Someone says, I voted yes, then I'll vote yes again. Someone from the 816 said, Jackson County will not pass anything for the Royals if they move from Kauffman. So if that's their plan, then don't even bring it to a vote. Like, that is mainly you saying you would not vote. I don't know if it's fair to say that Jackson County will not pass anything for the Royals if they move from Kauffman. Clearly, that is your view on how you will vote. I don't think that speaks to everybody, but obviously 16% was the margin when both were attached, when there was poor planning, when there was poor messaging and everything that went with the campaign back in April.
And John Sherman flat out said on this station, blast out, we're moving. I mean, he's not staying.
That's done.
They're gone. So you got to build something.
The Kauffman angle is over.
100%.
Someone else says, we don't want the Royals. But Jackson County will do anything the Chiefs want, give the Chiefs their own, they said, 5/8 in sales tax. Where are you coming up with 5/8? And let them make something beautiful at Arrowhead. Outside of that, the Royals can go F themselves. That's from the 816 on the text line. That's what I'm saying. I mean, I think we all recognize if there was only one team staying in Jackson County and there was a vote, I mean, I would think the Chiefs are more likely to pass, but it would have to be a brand new renovation plan or a brand new stadium, right? My whole thing all along has been, ultimately, I think we're all on the same page, keeping the teams in the Kansas City, which is going to happen no matter where they go. And for the Chiefs, yeah, I prefer a new stadium. I do not think whether it's Kansas money or whether it's Missouri money, I don't care which side you think they're staying on, I don't think it makes sense to put the kind of money into a renovated stadium that it would cost for a stadium at his age. I don't think that makes any sense.
And they are getting older. Arrowhead's the third oldest stadium in football.
And I get the sentimental value, right? We've all talked about this for over a year. So I get the sentimental value. I've told you the first stadium I ever been to as a kid, I grew up in Kansas City. I've gone to games on the Missouri side my entire life. It really doesn't bug me. But I went to Arrowhead, right? First seat, my parents had seats and season tickets in section 302 or 303, 302 my entire life growing up as a kid. All right. So trust me, Arrowhead's great, but there's a reality of it's going to be not 2024. That's now 2031. And where is the rest of the league? Where is that stadium? Does it make sense to put in money for a renovated stadium? I don't believe that is a smart decision on either state line. Obviously, it could only happen on the Missouri side for a renovation. But if you're going to put money into the Chiefs, I think it should be for a new stadium going forward.
Yeah, 100%. When you look at the oldest stadium, obviously it's Soldier Field. They're getting a new one.
They're trying.
Trying to, but yeah. They probably will. And number two on the list was Lambeau. We obviously know that's not going anywhere. They've put those renovations.
Such different scenario.
Number three, Arrowhead. Four was Highmark in Buffalo, but Buffalo's getting a new stadium this year.
They are.
And then we see the money Jacksonville is going to spend and Carolina is going to spend.
Do you see how much money, though, the state of New York is giving, though, for the Buffalo Stadium?
Yeah, it's non-taxpayers, I don't believe.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, it ends up coming back. Like, we always say
but
that.
They never had a vote on this. They just did it.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean it's not taxpayer money. Yeah. I mean, if the money's coming from the state, it's taxpayer money.
Of course, yeah.
It's still taxpayer money.
But they didn't put it to a vote. They just said this is happening.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see, man. Tomorrow, I'm excited to have Jason Withington on, Clay County Commissioner, to get their perspective, because initially that rendering came out, and then once the East Village thing went away and then it became the Crossroads site, like, then Clay County was kind of out of the picture. Now are they back in the picture? They met with the governor yesterday, so we'll see. I still think that, as I said, the plan for both teams to stay in Missouri, in my opinion, has to involve Clay County if you think you're keeping both.
Oh, it has to. Clay County has to be part of it. I'm glad they're staying in it. They've got a great place to do it. They had a great vision, a great plan. They've got the space. It will come down to the taxpayers of that county, though, because they will be paying more.
Sure.
Than what they were paying in Jackson.
Yeah, and that is all part of the conversation, man. I still don't think anything's getting resolved anytime soon. Like, if anybody thinks we're going to wake up a month from now, we're just going to, no. This is going to, the rest of this year, at least.
Missouri's even said it's going to drag on until the end of the year, a new regime and an office.
Well, yeah, on the Missouri side, I mean, their legislature is not back in session until January, and there's a change in governor happening, term limit reasons, so you'll have a brand new governor. But yeah, this is at least through the end of the year, at minimum, and we're probably going to be, I think by this time next year, I think we'll know, but that's a year from now. Do you think this time next year we'll know where both are going? I'm not saying that there's going to be shovels in the ground. I'm saying...
Yes, just, I would hope so.
Okay.
I would hope so.
On a more positive end, because I know stadium stuff, everybody gets, pretty passionate about talking.
And it didn't
about
have to be this way either. If we did a stadium talk, it would be huge if it failed.
Oh, well, of course. Of course. On a more positive end, though, what the Chiefs actually are nationally, internationally, I think as a kid, I always got annoyed when I heard that, the Cowboys are America's team. Like, no, not my team. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but now, is that what people are saying about the Chiefs? And are they having the same reaction to the Chiefs? Courtney Cronin was on ESPN, and she thinks the Chiefs are America's team. If there is an America's team, it's the Chiefs.
You know who America's team is? The Kansas City Chiefs. In an era that is defined by often forced parity, you've got a dynasty. We don't have dynasties in the NFL all that often anymore. The Cowboys were that back in the 90s, back when I was a toddler, not even watching the NFL yet. We saw it before the Kansas City Chiefs with the New England Patriots, and we haven't seen it since. What we're witnessing right now, all-time greatest play from someone like Patrick Mahomes, and as you mentioned, you can throw Travis Kelce in the mix there too. What makes them America's team is the consistency at which they're winning, the ability to do it no matter how many pieces are changing in and out. I mean, look at the Dallas Cowboys. They're a 12-win team the last three seasons. They've had pieces move in and out, but what does it yielded them? The most embarrassing loss in playoff history? Potentially most embarrassing loss in franchise history for them last season against the Green Bay Packers? I just wish we could retire this term, America's team, because everybody, it's a subjective list. Everybody's going to have a different option, but the right answer here is Kansas City.
So I agree almost with everything she had to say. I would say that the whole America's team, I don't know anybody that's not a fan of that team that actually will recognize that. Like, again, as I could not stand when people, the Cowboys, America's team, crap. No, they're not if you don't root for that team, they're not America's team. It's like, this isn't the Olympics. This isn't anything like, that's not the World Cup where we're all behind one country, our country. Like, this, America's team, when you have 32 NFL franchises, there is no America's team. But if there was one, yeah, it's the Chiefs. On-field accomplishments, nobody's been better over the last 7+ years. And you also have the off the field stuff that helps with it. Like, from the global perspective, Kelce and Swift, Mahomes is on all these commercials, right? You have the best quarterback in the league. You have the best head coach in the league. You have a Hallmark movie being made about the, around the Chiefs in Kansas City. Like, all of that, Bink, is all part of that. But I don't think if you're a Green Bay Packers fan, you're calling the Chiefs America's team. I don't think if you're a Broncos fan, you're sure as hell not calling the Chiefs America's team.
Yeah, I love them or hate them. Chiefs have got that balance down. Get that half the people that hate you and half the people that love you. But you're right about the off-the-field stuff, the Taylor Swift things, all that. The Chiefs are in the news. I mean, they just are. National news, they make it. Even Isaiah Buggs became a big story nationally, even though that most people in town never even heard of him. I'm just saying, that became a big story. Why? Because it involved Chiefs. Just you mentioned the word Chiefs, it was going to be a big deal. And Isaiah Buggs, to me, was a huge example.
Don't even know who he is.
Of people caring more. Yeah, all the Chiefs always get him. Nobody even knows who Isaiah Buggs was. He was on the practice squad. But it became a story nationally of Chief getting in trouble because you mentioned the word Chiefs, it's going to get the buzz, man.
Someone on the text says America's team is just the team most casual fans watch.
That might be a good way to...
That's probably fair.
If that's the barometer, they are then.
Well, that's why the NFL puts the Chiefs on in every single window possible. If you're a kid that doesn't live in an NFL market, right? You're a kid that's 8, 9, 10 years old, and you're just finding out about the NFL. You're starting to finally become a sports fan and whatever, and you're not in a city that already has an NFL franchise. Who do you think they're probably watching the most, therefore becoming a fan of, or the quarterback they're buying the jersey of? Patrick Mahomes, and it's the Chiefs.
Yeah,
like, if you live in, you know what I mean? Like, if you live in, you know, somewhere in Iowa, obviously it's closer to Canada. But you know what I'm saying? Like, any market that doesn't have an NFL team, and if your family's already not diehard Denver Broncos fans, there's a decent chance if you're watching the NFL and you're a kid growing up, you're a Chiefs
fan. Wyoming, yeah.
Sure.
Something random. I think it's interesting the way that if you were to say, who are the Cowboys in another sport? The Lakers, you could say, are America's team, but at the same time, the Lakers haven't done any... I mean, the Lakers won the title in the bubble, but in the same breath as the Cowboys, they haven't done very much in quite a while. You would maybe phrase somebody else as America's team in the NBA. I think, to me, it's more about the identity of the team and everything more than it is the on-field product. Because, I mean, even still, the Cowboys, even during the Patriots run, the Cowboys were still considered America's team because if the, you know, Cowboys were always on primetime and more people tended to watch, they're on Thanksgiving all the time, etc. It's a bigger deal when the Cowboys are good. That's kind of the barometer.
I think that's media driven, though, right? Like, sure. They're not East Coast, but we all know on ESPN is like, they'll talk about the Cowboys when there's no reason to talk about the Cowboys. You know, they'll talk about the East Coast sports teams when there's really no reason to talk about. That's just what, like, there is the East Coast bias.
Like,
part
the
of
Cowboys
it.
Have got all this buzz and haven't won crap in decades. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's talking about them. I will say this, though, and it's never going to happen because they're not going to do it, but I think the Chiefs could make a legitimate case to go to the NFL. You know, that $400 million you just gave everybody? We deserve more. Honestly, I feel they're in a position to because they helped them with Amazon, and they're helping them with the Netflix money.
It doesn't work that way.
I know that it doesn't work that way. But if I'm the Chiefs, you're being used a little bit by the league because
But that's you now, though. But Netflix now, like, in 15 years, that's not going to be the case.
But Netflix and all these streaming companies, who do they want? They want the Kansas City Chiefs. That's why Netflix first game there, the first Amazon game was the Kansas City Chiefs. Teams and people are wanting them. Honestly, the Chiefs could be in a position. They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. But honestly, the league, hey, secret envelopes, whatever, you owe the Chiefs more than anybody else in the NFL.
By that logic, though, from 03 to 15, then I guess the Patriots should have been getting more money than
that's everybody. Fine, though, but right now you made the argument Chiefs deserve more money.
And the Chiefs are getting more money because that $400 million is just the revenue share part. It doesn't include the local money they're getting from local sponsorships, local tickets.
They deserve more money than anybody gold.
I hear you. I hear you.
And so do you.
That might turn into, if you're really good, turns into college football a little bit quickly, where the resources you have as a team are a little bit higher than everybody else.
Name, image, and likeness for the Chiefs.
That's going to do it for us today. Bink's going to be listening to some Miley Cyrus on the ride home from work today. I can already tell. Tomorrow, shorter show with the Royals game being postponed. So we're off a little early tomorrow. We're going to have Jason Withington, Clay County Commissioner, join us, talk more stadium conversations that Clay County's having with the governor's office. We'll also get into a show that is coming out tomorrow called Receivers on Netflix. There's no quarterbacks this year, but Receivers is out tomorrow. Is anybody interested in that? We'll get into that, plus some more Royals discussion heading into the Cardinals series. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow at 10 a.m. The Drive coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.